I love worship.
I love being able to sing how I feel to Him and what's going on in my heart and in my life. And it never, ever gets old.
That's right.
It really doesn't. And that's outstanding. And I don't think it ever should. It ever should. I think you were going to give me an intro, right? Were you going to give me an intro? No, that's fine. No, you did earlier. That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to remember because that's where my brain went. I was trying to figure out, oh, that's right, you already did. We know, Dave. You guys all know me. And it's, again, a privilege to be able to be here with you. Any chance I get, in fact, I kind of call up, you know, Pastor Kev, Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, and said, you know, you guys ought to leave town more often. Nah, I don't. But it's great when they... when I get a call or an email that asks if I can come, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity. This morning, I want to share with you about words. Now, we all use them, and they're a very important part of our life. And I want to start off with by encouraging you, since it is Valentine's Day, to share three of the most powerful words in the English language. Three of the most wonderful, awesome, incredible words in the English language. And in any language, but since all of us here, I believe, speak English, we're going to say them this morning. What do you think they might be?
I love you.
You guys, you don't even need me. It's I love you. So take just to your neighbor, go ahead and share with them those three words. Go ahead and just let them know. I love you. Good. Keep doing that. And then if your spouse happens to be here, make sure you find your spouse and tell them that. I love you. Yeah. They are. Got to score points when you can. And also, oh, my daughter's trying to film me this morning, and she didn't know it was going to be such a challenge. And to my daughters, see, Triana, do you want to come here and get these, please? Now, remember, you're going to share these. Sharing is another very good word in the English language. Happy Valentine's Day. I love you. Thank you. Words are powerful. Even in saying that, how'd you feel when someone told you I love you? Feels good, doesn't it? Words are incredible. And to start off with this morning, and I have to tell you this also, and I hope you guys can handle this, but I did not make the time to go to Pastor Kevin's and print out an overhead of my message and the scripture. So, believe it or not, I'm actually going to ask you to turn in your Bibles. Is that okay? All right, works for you guys. Good. All right, we're going to go actually to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, making it easy for you to start off with. Not going to, you know, Zephaniah 4. You're welcome. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the sky and the earth. The earth was empty and had no form. Darkness covered the ocean. And God's Spirit was moving over the water. Then God said. God said. He opened His mouth and He spoke. And He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was what?
Good.
God said, and it was good. That's really important this morning. Let's practice. God said, it was good. God named the light day, the darkness night, evening passed, and morning came. This was the first day. Then God said, let there be something to divide the water in two. So God made the air and placed some of the water above the air and some below it. God named the air sky. Evening passed and morning came. This was the second day. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered together so the dry land will appear. And it happened. God named the dry land earth and the water that was gathered together seas. God saw that this was good. When God speaks, good is created. Whenever God opens His mouth, something good is created. Something is built up. Something is created for the good. Even though at times what He says may be difficult, and even in His judgments, God's ultimate end every time He speaks is good. And as you read through the Scriptures, I encourage you, every time it says, and the Lord said, or God said, or Jesus spoke, find out, the minute those words come out, what good comes from it. It's kind of fun to do. Good always comes out. When He spoke to Noah about a judgment that was coming, guess what good came out of it? Noah built an ark. And mankind was saved. When He spoke to Abraham, the nation of Israel was birthed. When He spoke to Moses, Israel was delivered from captivity. Always, every time God speaks, it is good. However, there was another visitor in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. And we find him first speaking in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5. Now the snake was the most clever of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day the snake said to the woman, One day the snake what?
Said.
We see him opening his mouth. Did God really say that you must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden? First time he opens his mouth, and what comes out of it? Lies. Deception. Half-truths. Oh, the woman answered, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God told us, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not even touch it, or you will die. Well, we see there that Eve didn't listen too well to God, because they could touch it, they just couldn't eat it. But the snake said, you will not die! You always got to put that after when he speaks. God knows that if you eat the fruit from that tree, you will learn about good and evil and you will be like God. Satan said, and good is destroyed. Or at least the attempt is made to do so. Every time he opens his mouth, his ultimate end is to destroy, to tear down. To rip, to cut, to kill, to steal, to destroy. Every time he opens his mouth, that is what's supposed to happen. Even though it may appear that what he's trying to say will bring good. Oh, no, you will die. You'll be like God. Ooh, that sounds pretty cool. The ultimate end is death. Now, that makes sense, as that's what he was created to do. But he can make it sound so appealing and so good. And in this instance, sin enters the human race. Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. And death becomes a reality. Destruction of good. The power of the spoken word is incredible. Do you know God has given you the same ability with the words you speak? What you say, what we say has impact. Think of a time when you said something to someone or they said something to you that either created good or destroyed good. Most of us don't have to go too far. And the good side, first time your spouse said, I love you. How'd you feel? Good. A mom, a dad, a mentor, a coach said, you are incredible. You're fantastic. I believe in you. Ah, yes, I love it. As I grew up, when I was talking to ladies, women, especially those that were my elder, I was taught to always answer, yes, ma'am, when they asked me to do something. Yes, ma'am. I do yes, ma'am. And I tried to do that. One day I was talking to someone of the female persuasion. They asked me to do something. Well, I said that, but I don't know why at the time. I just added a few letters. I said, yes, mammoth. couple of weeks later, when I got out of the hospital, I was able to go back and apologize. But you just, when it comes out, it's either you see it create good or you see it destroy. And God wants us to speak good. And the question, knowing the power and the impact of words, the question that you need to ask yourself is this: for whom are you speaking? Every time you open your mouth, every time I open my mouth, every word, for whom are you speaking? Are you speaking for God to create and build up good? Or are you speaking for Satan to destroy and tear down good? Because folks, we're doing it for one or the other. We really are. Now, I want you to take a pause, and Danielle, you can pause that because I forgot something, and I've got to go run and get it. So if you want, you can, or did you already get it? You brought them out? Oh, you are so good. Did you bring that other little thing with it? That was sitting right next to it. So please, take a pause. You can start it again. I apologize. Our dog. You know, the great thing about this church is we can be family. You guys know us. We know you. It's okay.
Amen. You're not going to leave us again.
I won't. No. No. Even if I do, I will always come back. We are either speaking for God or speaking for Satan. I want you to picture everything you do, every time you speak words, as if you are affecting a piece of artwork. Say, like a beautiful piece of pottery. So fragile, this piece of pottery, that I actually have to encase it to make sure that it doesn't get dirty. So every time you speak, you are adding to this. You are adjusting it or making it more beautiful if you're going to create and build up. Another beautiful piece too. And so, again, we look at these, and every time you open your mouth, you are going to have some sort of impact. And you want it to be good, to add to, and make it more beautiful. Or, what you can do, is you can use the words that you want to destroy. It's our choice. Our choice. We either are going to create good or we're going to destroy. And it's that easy. Because every one of us knows the impact of a word that's been spoken that has done that. It's too easy to do it. We should be speaking words that create good. God wants us to speak words that create good. Words of creation. I love it. Picture you are as God and you are speaking forth words that create. Every time you open your mouth, we should be speaking words that create good first and foremost to God. We do that in praise and worship. Psalm 51:15 says, "Lord, let me speak so I may praise you." Every time we open our mouth, we can be praising Him, coming from lips that speak His name. Nothing creates good like praise and worship.
Yes, amen.
You want to be creating good. You don't have any idea the impact in the heavenlies, what we created that was good this morning as you praise and worship our Creator. It creates in us an awareness of the real world, the world where Jesus dwells. The heavenlies. It creates in us an awareness of that. And it creates in God an understanding of how much we love Him. And you can impact God. You can make Him smile. You can make Him happy by how you express your love to Him. He listens to you. You know, God listens to you. And He loves to hear that you love Him. I never get tired of hearing my daughters say, "Daddy, I love you." Never get tired of it. Ever. ever. Great opportunity right now. Never get tired. Oh, there we go. Good job. I work with them on those prompts, don't I? All my daughters, but mainly my middle daughter and I, Kelly, who is not here, she's at a camp this weekend. We have a thing that we do when we're holding hands. I actually read it, and I love it. What you do when you're holding hands is you do a kind of little message, and the first four things, you squeeze the hand four times. Do you love me? Is the message it's asking. The person responds, yes, I do. The next time, too, how much? And then you squeeze. And it's so much fun. Her and I do it everywhere. And literally, we're like... But I love it. God is the same way. He loves us to express our love to Him in praise and worship. We should be speaking words that create good also through prayer. Through prayer. God's given us that privilege. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, a very familiar section of Scripture. It says, so when you pray, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come and what you want be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need for each day. Forgive us for our sins, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen. What an incredible expression every time we say that. And I know we can use it as a pattern, but there are many times just saying that prayer. We speak to God, and that prayer creates a dependency in us. And it creates a dependency in us. And lets God know that we need Him for everything. And that's a good thing to do. Creating that awareness in yourself is very, very important. So we need to speak words that create good as we speak them to God in praise and worship and in prayer. And then we need to speak words that create good to yourself. To yourself. So yes, you can say, I heard in church today, Pastor David said it was okay to talk to myself. Like you needed permission. What is it that you need to be saying to yourself? That's the question. And I went to my daughter's room the other day, and on her wall she had these posters. And I read them and I went, those are awesome. Can I take them? She said, sure. You can borrow them, Dad. Says, who am I? I am accepted. I am a member of Christ's body. I am Christ's friend. I am God's child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been adopted as God's child. I have been justified. And I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. I am God's temple. Are you liking that?
Yeah.
That's you. That's all Scripture. That's what God says about you, and that's what you need to be saying about yourself. Now, God also says some challenging things like, you're a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. That we daily need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. To walk in daily repentance. Being cleansed. So we can be cleansed. So I'm not talking about the self-help, talk to yourself and make yourself feel better. How many have seen, what about Bob?
Yeah.
You know, where he says, where he wakes up and he's, I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. Now, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what does God say about you. That's what you need to be saying to yourself. Because it builds up. What it does is, remember, when you speak to yourself that way, you're making this creation of God more beautiful. You're making it more beautiful. The challenge, though, that I find in my life is a lot of the times when I'm talking to myself, I tend to be doing this. You know, I find myself when I do something, literally, I was like, oh, you idiot! So stupid! What an can't do that. Idiot. Last Thursday, I was dropping my daughter off at swim practice with my wife. And before we drop them off, pull up to a curb, and all the cars kind of pull in a line there. So there was an SUV in front of me, and pulled up behind her, and we dropped my daughter off, said goodbye to her, and then this person had not moved yet, so I needed to back up a little and then go back out around. Well, as we started backing up, I was distracted. And I still was in reverse. And to snap me out of my distraction, I heard a crunch. And I looked in my rearview mirror. Late. And guess what? I'd hit somebody. Do you think the first words out of my mouth were, I'm a new creation! I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed! I'm more than a conqueror! Now, it's idiot! You know what? I may do idiotic things, but I'm not an idiot. I may do stupid things, but I'm not stupid. This is who I am. Doesn't mean I always do the right thing, but this is what I need to be saying to myself. Because the problem is I do it. Guess who I watch and see do it next? My daughters. I see them saying that about themselves. And then I go, you idiot! I go, oh no, wrong thing to do. Because they learn. They learn. But I need to speak words that create good. You need to, about what God says about you and also promises that God has given you. You need to speak those to yourself. About relationships. All of us have relationships that are challenging and need help. Maybe it's with a spouse. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or another family member. Relationships need help. But God has spoken promises to us about what they can be, and you'll find them in here. And he speaks to you individually, too, about hurts, habits, and hang-ups you may have. Challenges that each of us face as individuals that we just can't seem to get over. God speaks to us and gives us promises. We need to cling to those. Possibly about your job situation, your career, what you're doing in life. I know for me, this is very, very relevant to me right now. Because I don't have a full-time job. But we don't have a steady source of income right now. I haven't for quite a few months. And God's been taking us on this journey. He's given us incredible peace throughout, but it's a place I've never been before. And He's given me promises, though, and I'll share with you the scriptures He's given me. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. And by the way, I'm using the New Century Version, if some of you may not recognize some of the way it's worded. Trust the Lord and do good. Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and feed on truth. Enjoy serving the Lord, and He will give you what you want. Depend on the Lord, trust Him, and He will take care of you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. Promises He's given me. Matthew 6, 30 through 34. Don't have so little faith. Don't worry and say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your Father in heaven knows you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Try that sometime. I've been trying that, not worrying about tomorrow. It's hard. But it's commanded. And then Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and God will give to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will open for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find, and everyone who knocks will have the door open. If your children ask for bread, which of you would give them a stone? Or if your children ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask Him. Those are promises He gave me, and I'll tell you what I do. Every day, along with my regular Bible reading, every day, to the best of my ability, I read all of those scriptures. I reread them. Many times I will read them out loud to myself so I hear them. Because you know what happens when you speak the Word of God? It creates. Because it's alive. No other book is alive. And many times if you will simply read it, something happens in you. Because it is God's Word. And also, I'll tell you the truth, many times I'm looking in the mirror. And I'm looking at the guy there and I'm saying, you know what? It's going to be a great day because of who lives in you. It kind of freaks me out almost. But when I look in the mirror and I see those eyes and I go, Jesus Christ lives in there. The Holy Spirit of God Himself dwells in that temple. So great things are going to happen. And you know what? It's amazing what that has been creating. Every day, I'm finding great things are happening. And I love it. And we're doing it as a family, too. Or possibly, you know what? Maybe I'm just becoming more aware of the blessings that I do have every day. Either way, it's creating good. So we're to speak words that create good to God, to ourselves, and then guess who else we're supposed to speak them to? Each other. To each other. Ephesians 4:29 says, when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. Ephesians 5:19, speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. I got 3 points under this. They're kind of fun. First thing we need to do, we need to encourage, don't eviscerate. Good word, huh? And people are going, what is it? We'll tell you, we'll get there. Encourage, don't eviscerate. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Encourage there literally means to put strength into. When you encourage someone, you put strength into them. And one of the most powerful ways you can do that is with your words. And the best example, quite honestly, as I was thinking about this, that is Pastor Kevin, at least with me. Every time I talk to him, we talk. And you know what? He tells me something good about me. He encourages me. The kind of man of God I am. That I'm blessed and I'm incredible. He just is so for me. It's almost like, you know, please don't stop. And then if he continues to do it, it's almost like, please don't stop. Yeah. To hear that encouragement makes all the difference. It really does. So what I want you to do real quickly, take a minute and the person next to you, just tell them something that's going to put strength into them. Tell them something that's going to just put strength into them. Tell her. Yeah. You're beautiful. Nice opening, by the way. Outstanding opening. See, the challenge with this is, once you guys get started, it's kind of fun, isn't it? You feel good. I see smiles on faces. I see smiles. You like smiles. I like smiles. Yes, it's good. That's speaking words of encouragement that create good. Now, eviscerate means to disembowel or to remove someone's organs. And sadly, we do this most effectively with our tongue, too. The book of James, chapter 3, talks about that quite a bit. It talks about tongue is that which can control the body. And beginning in verse 5, it says, a big forest fire can be started with only a little flame, and the tongue is like a fire. It is a whole world of evil among the parts of our bodies. The tongue spreads its evil through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell, and it starts a fire that influences all of life. People can tame every kind of wild animal, bird, reptile, and fish, and they have tamed them. But no one can tame the tongue. It is wild and evil and full of deadly poison. We use our tongues to praise our Lord and Father, but then we curse people whom God made like Himself. Praises and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. Do good and bad water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree make olives or can a grapevine make figs? No. And a well full of salty water cannot give good water. So now, take a minute, and that person next to you, I want you to tell them something that will eviscerate them. No, I'm just kidding. You guys wouldn't do that. At least not here in church. And yet all of us, sadly, when it comes to people, we do it much too regularly. Especially when we continually let them know that they aren't measuring up somehow. It's just not good enough. You don't do it quite well enough. You're not, or why do you, or did you, in such a way that many times, you know what, how does it feel to you? It feels like you're having part of you ripped out, doesn't it? And the challenge is, once someone has done it, what happens? It really starts. And you know, okay, you're going to eviscerate me. Guess what I'm going to do to you? You ain't seen evisceration. And I'm not going to use anesthetic. You may not believe it now, but when I was younger, I had an incredibly full head of hair. It was incredibly thick, so much so that my mom kept it very, very short. Actually, you know, buzz cut. And as it grew out, it just was always just kinky. And it was really, and I had somebody at some point tell me that. I can't remember who it was. They just, oh, your hair is kind of just weird, isn't it? It's so kinky. What's the matter with you? Just stick your finger in a light socket or something? And that caused me to literally what happened. And again, when I was younger, as some of you might relate to, cutting my hair short was down to the bottom of my ears. And parting your hair in the middle was the cool thing to do at that time. So what I would do every night, I'd take a shower and I'd get out and I'd make the perfect part. And then I'd go in and I'd lie on my pillow on one side and I'd straighten it and I'd lie on it for a half hour. And then after a half hour, I'd flip and I'd just lie like that. And I literally learned how to force myself almost to sleep without moving. Because every once in a while, I'd wake up and it would be like, yes! Like the Fonz, remember the Fonz in Happy Days? You'd see in the mirror. And go. Most of the time, though, because I was. Someone had eviscerated me in terms of the effect they had about my hair. Now, God dealt with that, obviously. Got it to the point where I don't have much, so I don't have to worry. But the power of words is such. You know what? Negative tends to stick, doesn't it? So we need to be careful that we encourage, not eviscerate. Secondly, edify, don't eat. Edify means to build up. Clearly, it means to build somebody up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. It means to look for the good and praise it. Similar, this whole thing. But this is looking for the good, finding the good. And sometimes you have to do that with people. Because there are some people that aren't, you know, just bubbling over all the time with greatness. And we need to look. I remember when I was in high school, as a senior in high school, I finally got into singing, into the choral. And that's another story of people that negatively impacted me. But I love to sing, so I got involved in the choir. And my choral teacher said, you know what, you've got a nice tenor voice. I said, well, thank you. Because what I want to do is I want to give you a solo in one of our main songs that's going to be done in front of the whole school. And I said, cool. And what it was, there was a part of it that went, and the Lord looked around. And it was actually, it was a solo. And so I'm all excited. Get up there and in front of the whole student body, I do this. And the Lord looked around. And I just, you know, I finished it, but I finished and I'm just like, oh, you know, idiot! My choral teacher came up to me and he said, Dave, That is one of the best jobs I have ever seen of recovering and finding the right note and not quitting. It was a he, actually. He, yeah, and honestly, you know what that did to me? I can do this. I can do it. And that really impacted me from now on. I know I've got a good voice to sing. It's not perfect, but it's good enough to get out there and sing. And that really edified me and built me up. My wife telling me I'm her hero. She does. I do something. She goes, "You're my hero." Guess what that makes me want to do? More. I want to continue to be her hero. You guys telling me that I preach well.
Yeah, you do.
See, there you go. That's what I was looking for. There you go. You guys are getting good. That's right. No one here wants that feedback. Yeah. There we go. Makes me want to continue. But it's that way in all of our lives. And so, and I know we're kind of doing this, but I want to set it. And what I want you to do, that same person you were talking to, I want you to tell them something that's going to build up someone else. Someone else you know. Take a minute. Tell your whoever it was something good about somebody else that you want to build up. Go ahead, do it. You guys are a great group of people to preach to. And not only that, just to be with. Just to be with. This is kind of our family in Ludlow here, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. By the way, I did, I'll let you know this on Saturday. Actually, the last message I preached here is the message that I have sent a couple of churches that I've applied. So they've gotten to hear your laughter in different parts of the world. So, yeah. You're a laughing church. There you go. That's another great thing. So you're edified. Don't eat. Galatians 5:15. If you go on hurting, devouring one another, and tearing each other apart, be careful or you will completely destroy each other. When we use our words, and I'm going to do it again, so all of you ladies who don't like pottery breaking, to do that, it's literally like we're ripping a limb off of each other. We're biting, we're devouring. And you know what? It's kind of hard. If I was going to lead worship and play my guitar and someone had taken my arm off, it's not going to happen. We can't be who we were created to be if we are devouring one another. And lastly, convince, don't complain. Convince, don't complain. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The word there, convince, means by conviction, bring something to light. Talks about in love, letting people know if there is something wrong. There are times when we do need to speak to one another things that are uncomfortable, that are difficult. Because I know, for me, the people I respect and love the most have been the people that have spoken some of the most difficult things into my life. And I can tell you stories of Pastors Carl and Sherry and Pastor Kevin and some of the things they've had to say to me. It weren't easy, but it was done in love, in the context of love. It was done with the ultimate intention of creating something good in my life. And therein lies the difference. If something's going on with somebody and you that just bugs me. If I'm going to go to them, is my ultimate purpose to create something good in their life, or is it just to let them know what a jerk they are? And it's hard to know the difference sometimes. Honestly, you know what? I listen to the things that come out of my mouth sometimes, and I just, God wants us to speak the truth in love. And as I said, there's a big difference between this and simply complaining to them about them or complaining to others about them. And the problem is, especially in our church setting, we tend to sometimes like to do that, but we frame it so religiously. I have a concern for somebody that I want to share with you. They need prayer, so I'm coming to you to let you know what they need prayer for, is what we need to do. Now, there are times we need to pray, and please, you need to be sensitive, but you know in your heart when it's, you know, I'm concerned about Sister So-and-so. I mean, have you seen what she wears to church? She comes to church, and what she does during worship, she doesn't worship. She's not involved in worship. She just really, and even during the message, she sits there and she listens to her radio. Or she writes things, she plays with things. I'm just really concerned. And you know what else? I hear that she's critical about the way other people are in church. Thank you. They let their cell phones ring. God wants us to encourage. He wants us to use our tongues to convince, not complain. Here's how God feels about, and this is, I know, a scripture you've heard, Proverbs 6:16-19. How God feels about people that cause problems in the midst of the congregation. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Are you building up one another, or are you destroying and tearing down? Realize you're doing this, God hates it. He doesn't get that strong very often. He hates it. Interesting. Three of the seven of those are about the tongue, aren't they? And what the tongue does. How powerful this member of our body is for good or for evil. He wants us to build up. And honestly, that list, I was thinking about this. I have, and this is, please, not a condemnation. This is me. That list I read through, and I realize now why I do not like reality TV at all. Because every one of those things, basically, a survivor or something like that, that's all it promotes. Amen. And you know, it hit me, I go, no wonder, it just grates on me, those shows. Because all they're doing is tearing each other down. And millions of people watch it! Ah! And church, what an opportunity we've got to show the opposite. To where we build up. And people know that if they walk in the doors of a church, they're going to be loved, accepted, cared for, encouraged, edified, and convinced. Not eviscerated. But encouraged and built up. The incredible power of the words we speak. Jesus wants us to understand that and to use our words to create good. Just as He did and still does. Last story I want to look at. An amazing one that shows this. And it's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's in the book of John, chapter 11. And if you know the story, Jesus was in a different place. If someone came and said, your friend Lazarus is sick, He stayed there 2 days. And we find out why, because He's walking back. He says, okay, you're going to go see the glory of God. Lazarus is dead. I want to make sure. Lazarus is dead. He shows up. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, come out and talk to Him. Some great conversations, great discussions there about, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he'll also find out that he weeps. He cries. Shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. That's from this. And then He says, let's go to where you have him. So they do. And so then He says, beginning in verse 38, Jesus again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. where he has been dead 4 days. Jesus, come on, man. I love it. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I love it. Jesus, the creator of life, spoke into a place of death. He spoke into a tomb. And the voice that created the universe said, "Lazarus, come forth." And with those words, into death, he spoke and created life. He brought his life back to him. You know, he said Lazarus by name, because when that voice speaks, "Come forth," if it wasn't specifically Lazarus, there'd have been a whole lot of dead people coming out that day. Such is the power of his words. Interestingly, and I read through this time, I saw this though. When Lazarus came out, he was still bound with the things that had him bound up in death. And he needed other people to help him remove the things that had him bound up in death. Every one of us, there comes a point in our lives when we were dead in our sins. We were in a place of death. And it happened to me when I was 20. And he looked into my place of death and he spoke into my tomb and he said, "David, come forth." And I was born again. He created his life in me. He set me free from death. And every one of us has to have that experience to become his son or daughter. And there are times in our lives that even now he still needs to speak into a place of death and bring us out. But you know what? Even when I came into new life, I still had things that had me bound up. I still had problems. I still had things that needed to be removed. And Jesus didn't say, "I'm going to do it." You know what he said? He said, "You guys, remove them. Loose them. Other people, brothers and sisters, loose one another. Help set one another free from the problems, the things that had you bound up." And you know the best way we can do that? One of the best ways, not the only, but one of the best ways is with our words. We speak to one another to help us be free. We can pray for one another. We can encourage one another, build up one another, make sure we are finding the good and praising it in one another. And also, and this is one of the most important things, as my mother said when I was young, and I've learned so much that she was true, "David, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all." You know, one of the best things you can do with your tongue is not use it at the appropriate time. Such is the power of our words. We can help set one another free and be the person God has created us to be. So we looked at the first words that God spoke in Genesis, and we see what they created. How about the last words he spoke in recorded scripture? They're found in Revelation 22, verse 20. Revelation 22, verse 20. The second to last verse of the Bible. This Jesus, the one who says these things are true, says, yes, I am coming soon. Those are good words. Those words create hope. Those words create expectancy and longing. Because we know the one that loves us more than any other is longing himself to come back and be with us forever. That creates excitement in me. And that message, quite honestly, is the best message I could ever give you on Valentine's Day or any other day. Because it says so clearly, He loves you. And He longs to come back. And He's coming back soon.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You spoke us into existence. We thank You that You have created good. And that everything You say does create good. It has in our lives. And Lord, You've given us that power to do the same thing. So today, I pray that You would help each one of us to, as Scripture says, set a guard on the door of our lips. That we would use our words, we would use our mouth to only do that which does create good and build up. We don't want to talk for the enemy. We want to stomp on his head and shut him up. So I pray, wherever we're at, I pray these words would be used to encourage, to edify, to build up, to convince if necessary, so that we can go from here, a people who are ready and excited to use our words to glorify You, to love You, and to love one another. We thank You for all those great words that have been spoken into our lives, and help us to remember those, especially the words that You have spoken about us. In Your wonderful name, Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, again, thank you all very, very much. As always, if anybody would want to come and talk about anything, get some prayer, I'm going to be around. Please feel free to. And know that this body, I know, exists to build up and edify, to encourage, to strengthen, to glorify God first, to love God first, and to love one another. So I encourage you today, take some time, either now or when you get home, to think about the things that you say. And again, it's a great day to emphasize love for one another. And so do that. And be encouraged, and thanks again, and looking forward to hearing stories of when Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, and the gang return. I know he did a fantastic job today, and when he gets back, take some time and make sure you encourage him too. God bless you guys. Dismissed.